Today's episode is to a gentleman named Lee, who wrote a rather detailed explanation of his sin and his struggle and his fear about the condition of his salvation. That email can be read above this recording on the Table in the Wilderness devotional series on our website. Now, while I'm making this message, Lisa is sitting right beside me. It's late in the evening for us, and about halfway through the recording, I felt myself become animated and empowered, speaking with great fervor and conviction. And I also took a direction to speak, being led, no doubt, by the Holy Spirit, to speak about sexual sin, particularly my past struggles with it. And at the end of the recording, Lisa had mentioned she wondered, since this gentleman's issue was alcoholism, how come I kind of redirected and went and spoke so much about the sexual sin. When we sent this message to Lee, his reply back to us revealed that although he had not mentioned it in the previous email, one of his biggest struggles that he continued to fall in was in the area of sexual sin. So here's that recording to Lee, and may God bless you as you listen. Hello, Brother Lee. God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. I just now sat down after my wife and I's Bible study and had a chance to read your email. And I am not the judge, so I only can know how I personally am standing before the Lord as an inner witness is given to me that testifies that I am a child of God, right? And even the Apostle Paul said that my conscience is clear, but that doesn't mean I'm not guilty, for it is the Lord who is my judge. So there's a real position of humility for me to say anything about another person's salvation. But what God has given me the ability to do is written right in His Word, which is to judge a tree by its fruit. And I just have two thoughts to share with you as I've read your email. I too had to struggle to get out of sin. I think the biggest sin that I would call an obvious sin would have been the sin of masturbation. While I was a single man, the Lord challenged me to set that sin down. And then, of course, there was a period of time early on where I had dated a woman and I fell into premarital sex. And I went back to it like it could be said of me, a dog returning to its vomit. And it happened about 15 times over a period of 6 months. And I've told the story about this terrible struggle. Now, this was early on in my walk with the Lord. This was all the way back in 2011. And so I had only just been 2 years into a full surrender of my life and will to the Lord Jesus Christ, where I finally saw enough light that I was living a false, delusional, self-led Christianity, where I was literally my master. And I gave Jesus lip service and added Him like a cherry on the top. My American Pie Sunday, or perhaps like a good luck charm on my rearview mirror, that the Lord would bless all of my plans in life. So as I'm wrestling to come out of this false teaching and begin to understand, you know, Satan is working on me hard, isn't he? And God is allowing that sin to bring me low and to help me to understand the pride of self-righteousness, the power of spiritual warfare, the power of the flesh against the Spirit, Galatians 5:17. So in that season of my life, there were a few times where, man, it's very hard for me to admit this, but I deliberately sinned against God. I knew that what I was doing was sin. Thank you, God, for not cutting me off. I remember touching the edge of God's mercy in those moments like I have never. It's never, ever happened to me again, where I have, if you will, almost trampled the grace of Jesus Christ, the blood of the covenant that purchased me, sanctified me, where I willfully, knowingly, I mean, I remember a few moments where I allowed my flesh to be so active, so stirred up, that you could have laid a Bible on my forehead and it wouldn't have stopped me. That's how powerful the sinful nature is. That's how powerful sin is. It's terrifying for me to reflect back on that. Me, Michael Criswell, who today my conscience is so violated if I say an off-color, you know, attitude or word to my wife or about somebody or whatever, I immediately repent of it. And then I felt the power of sin in me so strong that I could knowingly, in a moment, knowing I was sin, dive headlong into it. That's terrifying. But God in his mercy did not cut me off. And I would find myself at 2 o'clock in the morning. Maybe you've heard the story if you've been listening to my videos. I tell the story where I am defeated once again, leaving her house at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'm in tears and I'm feeling the remorse and I'm crying out to God, have mercy, Lord, please help me. I'm sick and tired of doing this. I hate doing this. Lord, please help me. Help me to stop. And man, the Spirit of God, this is the most terrifying moment I've ever had. This is my, you know, you're going to hell type of moment where people have had the flames of hell nipping at their heels. And I feel the Holy Spirit say to me in a stern voice, you want my help with this? I can help you with this. And I knew immediately as this voice was speaking to me, this was him saying, you don't want to do this yourself? You don't want to practice self-control? I can help you with this. And I felt the Spirit say to me, I can make it to where you can never have sex ever again in your life if you want me to help you with this. Not that the Spirit is wanting me to enjoy sexual fulfillment the rest of my life, but the Spirit was speaking to me, I can make it. I can tie a knot in your flesh. I can stop you by my power, by my strength in your flesh. I can give a physical inability for you to do this. I can do all kinds of things to stop you from sinning in that way. But he was showing me that I had the Spirit of the living Christ in me and I was to exercise self-control, that I was to suffer in my flesh, to put down that sin, to hate what I was doing to him so much that I was willing to suffer no matter what it took in my flesh, that it was time for me to suffer, to pay the consequences. It was time for me to reap what I had sown. When you sow to the flesh, you reap destruction. That's what the Word of God says. And I was terrified, Lee. I was terrified. And I put my foot down. And I said, we are never doing this again. I am not going to put myself in that situation. I'm going to stop putting myself in a situation where my flesh and the power of sin in me becomes more powerful than the Spirit of Jesus Christ or the fear of God in me becomes. I'm going to quit doing that, as some Puritan writer would say, allowing Satan to get in the saddle. I was allowing him to get in the saddle. I was not avoiding the open doors that would open that. I was getting too close to the fire and then wondering why I was being burned. I didn't yet know how much responsibility I had to avoid these kind of things. And so I failed and failed. Masturbation. It's one of the greatest stories of sin being overcome in my life I've ever had. So now I'm no longer having premarital sex, but I'm just lusting in my mind when things would get stirred up. I'm a single man. I'm trying to figure out how do I put down this body and all of its desires. And I'm doing a pretty good job. And you've probably heard this story too. It's the story of me watching a testimony about Pablo Escobar. It was a documentary about his life that was supposedly made, or it was a documentary style film made on his life. And I'd always been curious. I'd heard the guy, didn't know what he was about. He's this big, giant billionaire kingpin of cocaine. And I didn't know about his story. So anyway, I'm watching it. And then you could probably hear the three times that the film turns into basically like pornography. And I go through this 3-episode of leaving the room, still can hear it. Then turning the volume down, coming back, trying to watch it again. The scene comes back on again. And before I know it, I'm in full blown mode to go. And I'm hearing, just go take care of this. Just go, just appease the flesh, put it away, do it. And in that moment, I draw another line in the sand and I get up and I flee and I turn that stupid TV off. And feeling completely aroused in my flesh and ready to do this. And I know how quickly I can take care of this and shut this screaming voice in my head off. I walk down the hallway and I say, no, you are not the boss of me anymore. That loud. I yelled. I became violent. I started to rip out the eye in my head that Jesus commands me to, and to cut off the bloody hand in my hand that's causing me to sin, and to cap off my foot that's causing me to sin, to do exactly what Jesus Christ demanded, to violently deal with the sin in my life, sick and tired of it being my boss, sick and tired of it calling me anytime it wants. I was done. I violently made war against my sinful nature. I wish I had that on videotape. I wish I had a recording of that I could put out for the whole world to see of what it looks like, how you finally get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you war by the power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ against your flesh. And you say, I am not going to hell. I am not being your slave. You sinful bastard inside of me, and you stand with God in condemnation of your sinful nature, and you get sick and tired and you say enough is enough, and that's it. You become violent against the one who is violently dragging you against your will to hell. I've said it this loud. That's exactly how I dealt with it. There was a violence in me. And man, I tell you what, it wasn't just me. I didn't have to keep fighting. It was then that the Spirit of God saw I was willing to suffer. So I was willing to stand up and exercise the self-control, the fruit of the Holy Spirit that was already living in me, to exercise my faith, that if I did my part, he would do his, that if Jesus saw my faith, he would bring the miracle. And he did. And literally within 30 seconds of some point of me resisting, submitting myself to God, and Satan will flee from you. And he did. And I felt a total change in my body. Yeah? It was incredibly, it was amazing. I felt in that moment, it wouldn't have mattered if it was Jack Daniels. It wouldn't have mattered if it was Marlboro cigarettes. It wouldn't have mattered if it was cocaine. It wouldn't have mattered if it was heroin. It wouldn't have mattered if it was methamphetamines. I was willing to suffer and by faith believe that Jesus Christ could cleanse me from all sin. And if I was willing to suffer a little while, the God of all grace would again make me strong, firm, and steadfast. And he did, and he has, and he kept me. And the man that's making this recording for you today, my boast before all the devils in hell and all the angels and all the great cloud of witnesses sitting with my wife right beside me, I don't live and have not lived in any known sin for years by the grace of Jesus Christ. That's the greatest testimony I have, the greatest essence I have, the greatest attribute of being a Christian is the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me from all sin. Now, I'm not sinless. I'm not without perfection or with perfection. But I don't walk in any known sin. And when I fall short of the glory of God in an attitude, in a thought, in a moment of unbelief, and an unkind attitude towards my wife or anyone, immediately by the Spirit of Christ, I repent. I do exactly what Jesus Christ says. I don't live in any known sin, brother. There is no sin going on in my life because of Jesus Christ. Not because of me, but because of Jesus Christ. But I had to do my part.
And I'm a witness.
And you're a witness, right? Yes. So, brother, I want you to know that, number one. And number two,
you're going back to a tree is recognized by its
fruit. Yes, a tree is recognized by its fruit. And the fruit that I see in your life is a hatred of the sin. I'm telling you these stories because I too had to battle to get out. I too had to battle to get free of the bondage of sin. And I too sin directly against God. it's terrifying for me. I actually, to reflect on that, I had physiological changes happening in my body while I was telling you this story because I tried to put myself back in it. It's terrifying to think about doing that to the Lord. And I know people have been cut off. I don't know God's judgment of you, but I can judge your tree, and your tree has a fear of God on it. And you have what sounds like still the spirit of repentance in you, a capability to repent. It sounds to me like perhaps you still just haven't been willing to suffer like those who must suffer to get out of sin. There is no way you can get free of sin after you've put yourself in it long and hard and deep without suffering. That's the thing that Christians miss. They think that Jesus is just going to show up and one day it's just gone. Yeah, it might be, but not until you suffer. You're going to have to suffer for a while. Jesus wants you to know that his grace isn't cheap. And as far as I'm concerned, another mistake that you're making is, and I'm telling you, this is something I've preached to thousands of people, and I have gotten testimonies of people who got free. When you run to an AA, Jonah 2:8, they forfeit the grace when you trust in an idol. They are forfeiting the grace that could be yours when you trust in these idols of men. AA is godless. It may say a higher power. It's godless. It's a different God. It's a different Jesus. It may give you comfort to know that other people are stubbornly refusing to go back and feed that desire. I don't have that desire anymore. I could go to Masturbators Anonymous or Lusters Anonymous or whatever it is Anonymous and get around other people and get some sense of, hey man, they're doing it, I'm doing it, we're all doing it together, and force myself, will myself to not do that thing. But that thing is still in me. Brother, you got to get to where that thing's not in you anymore. That Jesus has killed it. That the law of the spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Not just that you happen to be stronger than it, that you, with a bunch of other people and a good program and a good meeting every week, are putting it down. And in the end, that fails. In the end, that's leaning on the arm of flesh. It's only Jesus Christ. He has a one-step program into freedom, not 12 steps, not 10 steps, not 7 steps. When you have the kind of faith to believe that, and you don't have to go back to any programs anymore, you just go to the King. You go to Jesus. You do business with him. You do your part. He will do his part. That's my concern, is that you'll never get free if you're going to these institutions of men. Be done with it. Be willing to suffer in your body. All you have to do is be willing to suffer in faith. There are people that are suffering in their body for years who are not Christians, but they're free of alcohol. They're still suffering every time the body says, give me a drink, give me a drink, give me a drink. Watch the porn, watch the porn, watch the porn. But they know it's not good for them. They've made a decision. They're willing to suffer. But if you just suffer for a little while, the God of all grace will come to you and comfort you, restore you, making you strong, firm, and steadfast. And you've got to be free. The Bible says if you continue in sin, you're not born of God. Now, I was continuing in sin for that moment. But what was true about my situation is I couldn't continue in it. I was so miserable every time I did it. I wasn't able to continue in it. I was fighting it. It wasn't in agreement with me. Does that make sense? The spirit was fighting, and there was such a battle in me. That's how I knew there was still hope. That's how I believe there's still hope for you. But please, they forfeit the grace that could be theirs. So many people are trusting in pills, they're trusting in groups, programs. Verse 8, Jonah, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Think about this. Those who cling to worthless idols, it could be a pill or a program, forfeit, give up the grace. That's the power to live like Jesus. That could be theirs. I've preached this verse for a lot of years. I made my own little note on that verse. It says, what person, place, or thing are you clinging to that God sees as an idol? See, if you get free from AA, there is no glory in God for that. I'm sorry, because God's not even in AA. There's some God. It's called a higher power, but it's not the God of the Bible. It's not Jesus Christ. It's a godless institution that gives you a make-believe higher power. That's a make-believe. It's like a placebo god. You know, if you have a headache right now, it's a proven fact. I can give you a pill that will take away your headache. That's not medicine. It's called a placebo. And the god of AA is a placebo. And he'll work temporarily for you. But he's not really doing anything for you because he doesn't exist. He's no better than the anyhow, I don't need to keep going on about that. I think you get it. I feel a hope for you, Lee. You just need to redirect who it is you're completely trusting in. Don't cry out to Jesus and then run to AA. That's a different God. I'm telling you, be done with AA. Be done with programs. Be done with the ways of men. Leave AA for men who are godless. Leave AA for unbelievers. They have to have their programs. They have to have their psychology. That's the only way they get through. You only need Jesus. Shut down AA. You will be free. Suffer in your body for a little while and watch what Jesus can do for you. God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.